January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
Let's do this!
Is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Radio Row at AT&T Stadium for Errol Spence Jr. versus Mikey Garcia. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back from AT&T Stadium. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Houston, Texas, and areas far and wide. As we are joined now by a very special guest, Ray Boom Boom Mancini. You know the name. He's been in the boxing game for a long, long time. WBA lightweight title from 82 to 84. An Ohio native.
Yes.
So right off the top, Ray, I got to ask you, are you a Browns fan?
Well, it's funny you said that because I'm not going to lie. Oh, yes, that would help if I put the mouthpiece near me. Oh, that we don't need that. Okay, all right. Growing up, I wanted the Browns to do well. I was a Brown fan. I was growing up.
Yep.
And then in my teen years, for whatever reason, you know, I became an Oakland Raider fan during their heyday in the 70s. I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon now, but I want to see my Brownies do well. But they've been painful to watch over the last several years. Now, I'm not a Pittsburgh Steelers fan because our town's split. We're literally halfway between Pittsburgh Steelers. Half the town's Steelers fans and half are Brownie. But this year, how about that? That the Pittsburgh, I mean, the Cleveland Browns coaching job was the number one destination for coaches to want to come there. They didn't happen since Hoover was president.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, that was crazy.
And the fact that now look at all the talent they're getting because it's a great sports town. Cleveland's a great sports town, much like Pittsburgh, that whole area. But now getting guys like Beckham, Landry on the wideouts.
Yep.
Oh my! And we got a guy like Mayfield coming in with that. With, you know, he has a certain personality. It's infectious. It's great. Now we got the coach that we want.
And LeBron leaves, and you bring in these guys,
yes.
And it's ripe for the picking for the whole city in a blue-collar town that just wants to see a good team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's just a great culture right now. So am I a fan? I'm not going to say I'm jumping on the bandwagon, but I want to see him do it. Yes,
sure.
I've become a fan. You know, I'm a fan. I've become a fan of players so much as teams anymore since I got older. But I am a fan of the Browns. I want to see them do one. I'm excited about this coming
But you would make the argument that you're more of a Raiders fan than a Browns fan.
I was.
Growing up, no anymore.
When they left Oakland the first time, even when they went to L.A., I know a lot of guys there. Lyle was a good friend of mine. Marcus is a good friend of mine. I got to know a lot of players, but I couldn't go with that. L.A. Raiders just didn't sound right. I can't do that. So, and then look, the Barlows from my hometown are 49ers.
Uh-huh.
On the 49ers. Because aren't you a 49er fan? I said, I can't jump on that bandwagon either. I was happy they won. Now, my son's been a 49er since he was a baby because he didn't even know the connection at first. But he don't, you know, he sticks with his team. But me, I don't know. I'm a fan of players anymore. But anyway, I want to see the Brownies do well. I'm excited about this coming year. Our defense is coming together. So, yeah.
You're right. Dorsey's doing a lot. They're making all the right moves. Exactly. The fans should be super excited.
As they are.
No question about it. Another thing fans should be excited about is for this fight. Harold Spence Jr., Mikey Garcia. How do you see this fight playing out, sir?
Look, let me just say this. Two of the top four pound-for-pound guys in the game,
mm-hmm.
two of the top fighters with the boxing IQ, boxing ability, everything going for them, two of the top four right here. And you got one guy, the smaller guy, calling out the bigger guy. When nobody was calling out Errol Spence. Errol Spence has been the most avoided fighter over the last several years, 5, 7, 10, whatever. Because why? Because of his boxing ability, his boxing IQ, his power, the amateur pedigree, and all of that. Plus, he's a southpaw. Who the hell wants to fight a southpaw? Nobody wants to fight a southpaw. So the fact that Mikey said, that's the guy I want. And I said to Mike a couple weeks ago when we were sitting, he was working on the fight with me. I said, why would you call out Spence of all of them? Because he's the best, right? And I want for my legacy. And to be the best, you want to fight the best, which I understand, of course.
Sure.
And I said, man, I can't tell you how much I admire you. Now, people saying, it's just too big, too strong, this and that. It reminds me, and I keep bringing it up, when Carmen Basilio said he was going to move up to fight Sugar Ray Robinson in the 50s, people said, he's too small, too slow, cuts too easy, and Carmen Basilio kicked Ray Robinson's ass.
Yeah.
And won the title. So can it be done? Yes. Has it been done? Yes. Can Mikey be the guy? Yes, he can do it. Now, by all indications, Spence is the favorite, as he should be. But, when you hear these guys talking, and Mike, that confidence Mikey has, when I said to him, he said, Ray, there's something I see in this guy's repertoire. There's something I can exploit, and I'm going to do that. I could beat this guy.
Well, it's interesting because he sat right here, Mikey Garcia, just about a half hour ago, and he told us about that legacy. He told us about what he wants to do. And you've seen a ton of fighters through your broadcasting career as well as your professional boxing career, amateur boxing career, but it's that little extra. You always talk, he's got that it factor, but Mikey seems to have that kind of it factor. Yeah. It's the confidence and also the ability to go with the confidence to say, you can put me in any situation, any weight class, and I'm going to fight my way out of it, and I'm going to be all right.
Yes, absolutely. That's the great thing when you hear him. And if you listen to him, you sit there after a few minutes, as you guys did, he got you believing it. You go, man, he could do this. As a matter of fact, maybe he will. He'll do this. He's going to do it. I mean, because he has that type of confidence that you gravitate to. But then, Errol Spence. I call Errol Spence cool breeze. Because my brother just, yeah, man, we're going to go on there and do our job. We're going to go. He's just cool. You don't get rattled by nothing. Except yesterday at the press conference, the first time I see him get rattled.
Really?
And I said, ah, Mikey got under his skin. Because he said, man, him and his brother have been talking too much crap. They did this, they do that. And I see Mikey smile, and I'm thinking, Mikey, he got under his skin. Because what do you care what they say? If you say something, I say, who cares?
Yeah, you're right.
We're going to get in the ring in a couple of days. We're going to be going face to face. We'll do it. Take care of business then.
Yeah.
But the fact that Errol let him know, man, you've been talking a lot of crap. I want to punish you. I'm going to make – Mikey knows he got under his skin. That's a big key. And Mikey was just smiling. So I'm just saying, does it mean anything? We'll see when we get in.
Sure.
It may not mean anything. But – that was the first time I seen Errol get a little rattled and let his guard down a little bit. Because he's cool breeze, man. He just lets go off. And he knows what he could do. And like I said, how big and strong he is, the amateur pedigree, the eye boxing IQ he has, the punching power he has.
Yep.
And he's a southpaw? Oh, hell no. Nobody wants to fight a southpaw. So, what a great fight, man. What a great fight this is going to be. And I hope the fans, man, get smart and tune into this fight because it's going to be one of the most evenly matched fights in a long time. Even though the little guy moving up, it's truly David and Goliath.
And how about for you? Because this is something that's been a dream for you. You're growing up in Ohio and you're in the fight game. Your dad was in the fight game. You took the nickname.
Yeah.
You climbed the ranks. You did your thing. But did you ever in your wildest dreams when you were growing up as a kid and getting in the ring think about the fact that not only am I going to make a career out of this, not only am I going to take it to the utmost levels that way, but then I'm going to become a broadcaster, an actor, and it's going to open up so many doors for me to make it a lifetime.
Well, it's funny you said that because this new thing with the PBC on Fox came out of nowhere. It came out of me. And man, that blew me away. And that's just, what a blessing, man. It's just, I am a fight fan. I love the game. Love to fight. I'm a fan of lover of fighters, And the fact that they come to me and offered me this, man.
Hello.
My part. try to get my knowledge. The one thing I tell people, I'm not going to tap dance. If a guy stinks to join out, I'm going to say it.
Yeah. I mean, that's where you got to go.
You know, look, my friend Sean Porter's here. Last week, I was on the show, I thought he lost the fight. And I called him on, but he's a professional. That's my opinion. You know, in a fear fight, who cares what the guys think? Anyhow, but he won, and I'm happy because he's good. It's better to have him part of boxing. He's a better, you know, it's good to have him, and I'm happy he won. But right. I didn't think he won.
Right.
But he's good for the sport. He's better for the sport.
Right.
You know, than the other guy. So, anyhow, that's the one thing you're going to get from me, and that's why I'll be a part of this. And I hope they seem to appreciate my viewpoint. I appreciate the opportunity.
We're speaking with Ray Mancini here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We're in Dallas. You're like the second or third person that told me just in this room that people are trying to avoid Spence Jr. So it seems to be true. Is that almost a good problem to have? Because it's a problem because I feel like now you're struggling to get fights.
Well, is it a blessing and a curse?
It is. It's a blessing in the sense that, you know, you know that you're the most avoided fighter out there. But it's a curse, like you said, because you can't get the fights for your legacy.
Right.
This Mikey says this is a legacy fight for him. But look, but Errol's kind of in a situation. If he beats the little guy, he's supposed to beat the little guy. But if he loses the little guy, he lost the little guy. So it's not that it's a no-win situation because, it's again, he's fighting one of the greatest fighters who moved up to fight him. So you fight all you can do is fight the guys they put in front of you. And so who they want to fight you. Nobody has said they want to fight him except Mikey. Oh, you got to love that. So let me go out there and do the job on him and then move on. Plus, the money. You know, this is the best, biggest money fight for him right now.
Right.
He beats Mikey, then other guys will be waiting for him. But, you know, I love Errol Spence, man. You know, my son's the one who told me about Errol coming out of the Olympics. I didn't know much about Errol Spence, to be honest with you. I didn't. My son's been telling me since he came out of the Olympics, Pop, this is the future of boxing. My son told me that years ago, and I said, okay. And it was early on. And really, I got to notice him when he took care of Kell Brook, when he knocked out Kell Brook. Stopped him, I should say. But that's when I said, oh, man, this guy's the real deal. Because, again, you didn't see enough of him.
Yeah, sure. The future of boxing. But, like, you know, I asked this question to Leonard Ellerby, so I'll ask this question to you. Who in your mind do you see that could potentially be a big star like Floyd that has that gravitational pull in terms of pay-per-view numbers, exposure, fans, all that other good stuff? Who do you – is Errol Spence Jr. perhaps that guy?
Possibly in a different way. Mikey's that guy with the Latino crowd. If he wins, forget about it. He jumps there. Pacquiao was that guy.
Right.
You know, he was that guy. Mikey can certainly become – because Latino crowd, you know, Latino fans are the number one fight fans in the world, the biggest pay-per-view fighters.
Sure.
So we all know that. So, yeah, but Errol can become that, you know, just keep dominating guys.
But
yeah.
You were in the middle of the fight game when it was on top of the world, in every weight class
absolutely.
And all across. So that's, to kind of piggyback on Nick's question and talk about how do you get it to be – just transcending again. How do you get it to be where these fights are must-see TV all across every weight class because you get the personalities and you get the you talked about it, the press conferences where it's must-see TV because you want to see if there is a little bit of extra controversy right. And then you take it from there.
Well, I was asked that through the years. What does boxing have to do to get back on top? What does boxing have to do to overtake MMA? All those questions. I said, without network television being involved, we'll never have the same popularity. Well, Fox comes in, HBO leaves, Fox comes in, and what do? Not it's free primetime network television. Not on network television, and then have a companion piece once a month on FS1, the sister channel. Boom. Not only that, they start their own pay-per-view platform. Oh, man, it don't get better than this. That you can get network television. Once a month, you're going to get a free network and the top guys. The top guys. So it's just that's the way it'll happen. That's why you're going to get guys like Leo Santa Cruz, the guys like Jared Hurd, all these guys that are fighting, you know, they're going to be back on top. Get people will not only know the names, they're going to be able to put a face to the names.
Yeah, because that's what's going to get, because you're talking about with Mikey's background and taking the Latino crowd, but you need something that crosses
everybody,
background and brings them all onto the table. And part of that is, as much as you are in the ring, you have to bring that same energy and that same kind of skill level to the marketing, to the press conferences, to the things that keep people engaged.
And absolutely. And you know why Errol and Errol or Mikey and or Mikey can become that guy is because their humility. They're very humble guys. They let their fists do the talking. They ain't got to talk about it. That's why I was a little, you know, surprised that Errol got a little, you know, got a little shaky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Mikey smiled. And I said, that's the first time Errol's broken that, you know,
I'm a barrier.
You guys been talking a lot of crap up. I was surprised because he said, because if I'm Mikey, I got to understand.
Sure.
But if it doesn't mean anything, who knows? Maybe I might just, I'm going to just punish this guy. But you go, oh, I love that. I got to hear that. So what I'm saying is these can be the guys because they let their fists do the talking for them.
Mm-hmm.
Humble guys, family man. You gotta love them. Errol, you gotta, you know, you can't, you know, a good old boy from Texas. I call him Cool Breeze.
Yeah.
I call him Cool Breeze because he's just Cool Breeze, man. You don't get rattled. He just, you know, he just lets you, yeah, man, I'm gonna do
the
my
fact
job.
That he did though might mean that, a little yeah, something that, for Saturday night should and, be something
and,
to watch.
And then Mikey, if the confidence level yet to see he's challenging greatness. Very few people are challenging greatness anymore. And not moving up one but two weight classes to fight the best guy, the most avoided fighter in the world. Man, it don't get no better.
It's certainly an indicator that he's a confident guy, Mikey Garcia.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a mini mental win for him leading up to the fight, which is kind of a part of the game, right?
Absolutely.
But there you have it, Ray Mancini.
Yeah, we appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thank you
we know
so
you're
much.
Busy, but Ray Mancini, check him out, follow him, make sure you check when he's on broadcasting doing some fights, and stay up to date with Ray Mancini. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row at AT&T Stadium for Errol Spence Jr. versus Mikey Garcia. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's out, so Nick is in, and we are live from AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas, as we get ready for the big pay-per-view battle between Errol Spence Jr. and Mikey Garcia this Saturday night on pay-per-view. Check it out, as we're going to be here today and tomorrow. So is The Blitz. We've had some great guests already, but we got to get back to some localization, Nicholas,
as we
take it back to the H, and start talking a little bit about the Texans, because we had talked about free agency and how disappointing they have been. Dan Orlovsky this morning on Get Up stating his biggest disappointment as a team in free agency, the Houston Texans. And now there's news that there's movement, as they are going to have someone come in and visit them in free agency to possibly join and add to the team. And before you get all excited, it's not an offensive lineman. So Chargers corner Jason Verrett is going to come in after he visits the 49ers to take a look at the Houston Texans. We know that they still need depth and help in the secondary. We talked about the fact that because of the losses and because of what they were trying to do and achieve, that we had heard rumors they were going to add at least one more corner. Could it be Jason Verrett? And bigger picture, Nicholas, my big issue is what we've talked about all along. Why are they not focusing on the O-line? I know the draft is where you get most of your linemen, but come on, there's been enough linemen that have come right through in front of them that they haven't even taken a glance at.
Yeah, it's always been the obvious thing to address first, O-line, and they've never been really good about doing that. We do know that they have other places to address. We know that the running back position might be something. The cornerback, we just mentioned Jason Verrett. So, I think he was a TCU guy, if I'm not mistaken.
Local guy, missed all of last season after tearing an Achilles. And we know how we talk about running backs that get an injury like an Achilles. But we're talking about a defensive back. But previous to that, he had recorded 80 tackles, 19 passes defended, 5 interceptions, and 1 touchdown in his first 4 NFL seasons. He was an up-and-coming star until the Achilles injury. But again, now you're dabbling in a guy that's damaged goods, and you not only want to make sure you catch lightning in a bottle with the signing, but he's got to be healthy.
And I don't know if it's a situation where they're just struggling to secure somebody on the O-line, or if they're not looking hard enough, or if they're trying, they're just not successful. But yeah, I mean, see how quickly a general manager could look really good from one season and then completely look bad the next. But I'm not saying that he's completely crap in the bed, but he's got to make some moves. And I do agree with Laminack in that I am concerned that they go for the sexy name that perhaps is not the right fit for the Houston Texans. I'm concerned that could be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, obviously from a fan base perspective, they're looking for the home run. They're looking for the home run. They're looking for that big name. They're looking to get that guy that is a wow factor for everybody. But at the same time, they've made some moves. We talked about them. They bring in Roby from the Broncos, and he is going to be the guy that is going to be called upon to replace one of the corner positions. A lot of people poo-pooed on it. We mentioned the fans in Denver putting a number 29 on a picture of burnt toast and saying, you know, goodbye, good riddance. But when you look at ESPN, and I was looking this up this morning, And they did some of the grades for some of the moves that were made. Texans actually not faring as bad as you might think in terms of the moves that they made. They received above average grades. Tayshaun Gibson was the first player that they signed. They got a grade of a B, a three-year, $22.5 million deal. But they said that if you're going to lose a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, that a guy like Tayshaun Gibson could be the perfect fit. He's not going to play as many positions, but he could be exactly what they need to complement Reed in the back of the secondary.
And I don't even know how I feel about a lot of these grades, to be honest with you, because they're so different from website to website, from expert to expert. It's sure. just ridiculous. Somebody might give the Texans a B+. Another expert might give the Texans an F. It's ridiculous how volatile these grades are. But look,
now here's
they're going to have to make moves at some point, and then you can grade them then.
And here's what they said. ESPN broke it down by saying, look, if you're going to lose the Honey Badger, Gibson at nearly half of the price is a good fallback plan. It was a bit of a surprise when the Jags actually cut the 28-year-old safety, but at the same time, they also said take a year back and look at one of the most feared secondaries in all of football when you had Bouye, and you had Jalen Ramsey, and you had Barry Church, who came over from the Cowboys, and you had Gibson. So Gibson, who made a name for himself in Cleveland, is back on the market. The Texans feel like they came away with a good price and a good value for a guy at a position of need, especially when you need to save as much money as you possibly can to try and use that to bolster your line and also sign all your draft picks. I know that people in Houston, because of what you just said earlier and what Barry has said, is it wasn't the big splash because it wasn't a big name. But maybe it was just big enough of a signing to fill a void so that they can concentrate on getting their biggest weakness and glaring weakness taken care of.
A lot of people forget that a lot of teams are going for the best name at a particular position. But when that person doesn't become available, or he's not a free agent, or he's signed somewhere, what do? You go to the next best talent. That's just the way it works. If you want someone and he gets signed somewhere else, you go to the next guy. You go to the next guy. And soon enough, you'll find that, you know, if you fail at signing the first, I don't know, two, three big sexy names that are recognizable or are just a great talent on the field, you'll realize that it'll slowly, slowly, slowly get to a point where you're gonna be like, who'd they sign? Who's that guy?
But what have I been saying, though? The drawback when you're talking about what you're talking about in free agency is you're going to have to pay a little extra, because you know in order to pry these guys away from their previous teams, in order to make that big splash, comes with a big paycheck. And we know that the Texans, even though they do have the fifth most cap money coming in, that they have a lot of needs to fill. So with that being said, maybe it's a benefit to not get that big name at some of these other positions, yeah, but get a deal. But not a deal in like the offensive line of a year ago for less than stellar talent. A deal in that the fact that maybe these guys are coming off an injury or one less than stellar season. But overall, they're still quality players that can possibly upgrade the positions.
Like the word supplement, I think that's a perfect word to use, because at the end of the day, sometimes you can't fill a void completely. You can kind of fill it. So I totally get that, and I totally understand that. But yeah, so it looks like Jason Verrett made a visit to Houston. Chris Covington comes to Dallas. Are you shedding a tear about that? He signs a one-year deal with the Cowboys.
I'll tell you this. Rice product, local kid, does good, came into the league, and everybody looked at him as an undersized defensive lineman. First of all, he's a hell of a human being. He's a top-quality guy,
he's a really
dedicated
guy
to the community, easily, very soft-spoken, easy to talk to. But you talk about a guy that put in the work. You talk to everybody over there on Kirby, and they said, here was a guy that was in the weight room every day, and he was in the meeting rooms extra time, and in the offseason, he was busting his tail, and it paid off for him. And I don't know if he was in the Texans' plans or not going forward, but he bulked up, he put on a lot of size, he was disruptive on the defensive line, and I thought that here's a guy that you just, all you can ask for when the lower draft picks, when you bring him in, especially the local kid, you just don't want the story to end with a training camp. You want to see a guy progress and continually get better. He did all those things, and though it's a short-term deal, as long as he gets to continue that dream, and if it wasn't going to be in Houston, he gets to stay in Texas and continue to pursue it, I'm happy for him.
And now they got two Covingtons on this team, a Christian Covington and a Chris Covington.
Okay.
So it's going to be interesting with the jerseys.
Is it what are they going to do there?
What if they use the exact same name, exact same number? Don't put like a suffix or a prefix or anything like that. Would that be confusing?
I think the same number would be confusing because we're not in college, so I don't think the NFL's not going to allow them to pull that off. But yeah, I mean, look, you and I were talking about it on the flight over here. Barry had mentioned, you know, teams that hadn't done anything in free agency yet, and we all know the Cowboys have their hands full in terms of finances, trying to get all these guys signed, but they hadn't done a darn thing. And at least they're on the board now. maybe, again, from a Dallas perspective, maybe that's not what their fan base wanted. But maybe here's a guy at a little lesser price than some of the guys they got to worry. When you talk about Lawrence and Zeke and Dak and all the guys that they got to re-up with. And Amari Cooper, they get a guy maybe on the cheap, but maybe that could be a very serviceable guy on their defensive line. So we'll see what happens. We'll continue to roll on. There's a little Texans talk for you. But we got plenty more on the agenda. If you want to join in on the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call. You can text. You can hit us up on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Radio Row at AT&T Stadium for Errol Spence Jr. versus Mikey Garcia. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, it's Spence Jr., it's Garcia, it's March 16th, pay-per-view event on Saturday. We are at AT&T Stadium here in Dallas, Texas. It's the usual suspects, Nick Sciarra, Joel Blank, no Barry Laminack.
Well, you know what, Nick? You and AJ are staying for the fight. I unfortunately cannot. You know why? Because this Saturday, I'm going to be at Golf Galaxy in Spring from noon to 2 o'clock because it's a new year and it's a new you when you're playing golf. So why not get some new gear from Golf Galaxy? It's got everything that you need for your golf game, from golf balls to the perfect clubs to fit your swing. And, of course, they're going to have all kinds of swag with our ESPN marketing people out there, giveaways. You can hang out with me. You can get tested and fitted for some clubs, maybe check out a new putter, grab some new gear, but have some fun out there in Spring right off of I-45. It's Golf Galaxy, and we're going to be there from noon to 2 this Saturday. So stop on by and see us if you get the chance.
There you have it. And just a quick reminder, order the pay-per-view March 16th or buy your tickets on SeatGeek.com. But yeah, that was you know, my favorite interview of the day, Joel, was probably Ray Mancini.
We were just talking in the break. Growing up in the Midwest, he was as big a name as there was for people that enjoyed sports. And as he was talking about, because boxing was more on, like, national TV and it wasn't pay-per-view and you'd have to pay to see it, and he was a name, and one of the biggest things that obviously we didn't bring up during the interview, but it's a very tough situation for him, was he was a boxer that actually fought a guy and he died in the ring. Dooku Kemp died in the ring based on the damage done in a fight with Ray Mancini, and that was a national story. That was a huge event. That was before social media and everything else, and you could see just across the country the toll it took on Ray, on the sport, and how it, you know, it wasn't just about sports anymore when something like that happened, and that was a big event back in the day. But he was a big name. I mean, he talked about it. He went into acting because of that. Everybody knew the name Boom Boom.
Yeah, I mean, 36 years ago when that happened, and look, as tough and violent as some of these fighters seem, really, I would make the guess that 99% of them do not want to kill somebody in the ring. It was a very unfortunate situation. He obviously didn't do anything illegal or wrong, but right, it's going to be something he's perhaps going to have to live with for the rest of his life.
Emotionally and mentally, that's something that you never probably escape from.
Yeah, even if you didn't like the guy, even if you genuinely hated the guy, I don't think you really want him to die. Unfortunate situation. I'm actually shocked that promotions like the UFC, despite it being a relatively young sport, they haven't had a death. Now, there has been deaths in the sport of MMA, but there hasn't been under the UFC banner. And when you consider what they put their bodies through in training camps. But also, the only argument or only difference I feel like is there's a lot more strikes to the head in boxing, and I think that has a big play to it. Like with MMA, you're taking guys down, you're using jiu-jitsu, you're utilizing leg kicks, so you're not always getting the significant number of punches to the dome.
But you like talk you about in it boxing. In the NFL with CTE and all the head injuries and everything like that, and then you talk about it and see it up close and personal sometimes when you get to talk to all these people in the fight game, and you can tell sometimes maybe stayed in a little too long, did it a little too much because they're not
all there anymore, and you realize how physically demanding a sport it is. But the one thing about Ray Mancini that I remember, too, is that was Ray Mancini, Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler, Showman. You know, he was talking about how, you know, quiet and humble these two fighters are that are fighting Saturday night. But in order to get the sport of boxing back to where it once was, you need the personalities, the flamboyance, the outspokenness. He was talking about what happened in the press conference between these two fighters, and someone finally, you know, with some of the comments Mikey Garcia and his brother have made, got under Errol Spence's skin a little bit. That happened on the regular when you had Hearns and Hagler and Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran and all these big-time fighters that were one thing in the ring, but the other thing was they were still showmen and spokespeople when they were out of the ring, and that's what got people fired up.
You got to have that star power, and that's in every fighting organization. That's every fighting promotion. You got to have that star. A lot of times they want as many stars as possible, but if they can just get one superstar under one banner, under one promotion, a lot of times they're okay with that. So yeah, you got to have that. You got to have that personality now, especially in the era of social media. You got to be able to, sell yourself. You got to have, and some people just naturally have that natural monotone nature to them, but you know,
well, no doubt about it. And you talk about selling yourself. We like to sell out for our listeners. And the fact that everything that we've got going on, we always try and give back to you guys, the fans. So therefore, we want to send you and a guest to the Houston Whiskey Social, the largest annual whiskey tasting in Texas. 400-plus whiskeys and spirits from around the world and fine food to match. It's March the 30th. It's at the Citadel Houston. Right now, we're going to take caller number 13 at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You win a pair of tickets to the event, which includes admission, gourmet hors d'oeuvres, a wide range of whiskey tastings from around the world, and a tasting glass that you get to keep. Visit HoustonWhiskeySocial.com for more information. And speaking of whiskey tasting, the king of the whiskey tasters of an evening ago is in the building. So we know that Fred is alive and well and kicking, so that's a good sign.
He made it.
Yeah.
He made it. 13. Caller number 13.
Yep, so we'll take caller number 13 for the whiskey tasting. And we can expect that Fred Fowler will be doing some whiskey tasting later this evening, possibly.
I got to get some tickets to that, man.
Yeah.
I really got to get some tickets.
You may know some people that might be able to help you out.
Well, I'm gonna be really, really nice to our promotions director, Courtney, in hopes of her being able to secure me a ticket and another ticket for a potential plus one.
A plus one?
Yeah. You want to go?
You know, I'm back on the wagon, so it anything's possible at this point based on last night.
Yeah,
it's possible that I just go, you know, straight gung ho after this. The other thing is the plus one. You know, you broke a lot of hearts the other day on Twitter. I wanted to mention that to you.
Why?
There was some conversations going on in terms of engagement rings, wedding rings, things like
Pink
that.
Oh, Pink Valkyrie, yeah.
Amongst others, I might say. It might not just have been Pink Valkyrie, but I know people took notice of the fact that you had made mention of purchasing an engagement ring, and it set some people off.
Yeah, I didn't even realize. I was just trying to make a joke, because it's true that when I did propose, that rock was so tiny. So tiny. Oh, it looks like Errol Spence Jr.
Yeah, why don't
is
we
making
to,
his way.
You want to get to break real quick?
Let's just run through it.
Let's just go right up.
What's up, Errol? How you doing, man? Can you grab that headset so everybody can hear you, sir? What is going on, man? How you feeling?
I feel good.
Good?
Yep.
How you feeling? You okay body-wise, weight cut-wise?
Yeah, I feel great, man. I'm just, you know, ready to fight. I'm excited.
Speaking of being excited, I mean, Cowboy fan.
Yep.
AT&T Stadium. Not a bad backdrop to make another statement, is it?
Nah, this is a dream come true. You know, to just to be fighting at home and fighting in front of, you know, my fans and, you know, my loved ones and things like that. So, I mean, I got a lot of people coming in just to, you know, come support me and things. So, you know, this is something I dreamed about for a long time. And I didn't think it was going to happen until probably like 2 years from now. You know, it's happening right now, right after, you know, I fought at Frisco. So I'm excited.
And obviously, it's a stepping stone towards building a legacy. We've been talking all day about the legacy factor and trying to make your mark on the sport. And obviously, you've already got off to a good start, 24-0. But what does it mean for you to hear some of the legends of boxing? Ray Mancini was just here talking about the fact that you could be the next big deal, the it factor, because of the fact that you put every piece of the puzzle together in the way that you present everything in the ring, outside of the ring, and how intimidating you can be because of the things that you're able to achieve in the ring. That's got to feel good for you as well.
It definitely feels good. Just had guys like Ray Mancini, who's been in the sport for a long time, and You know, they've been around different boxers and, you know, different athletes. So, you know, he basically, you know, he knows firsthand, you know, what it takes to become, you know, that type of fighter or become that great fighter. So, I mean, it means a lot just to get that type of respect from the old time guys.
We're speaking with Errol Spence Jr. here at AT&T Stadium. Be sure to catch the pay-per-view Saturday, March 16th. I was talking to Ray Mancini about you, and he said people are avoiding you because they know how dominating of a fighter that you are. How annoying is that for you? Because now that's a problem, but kind of a good problem to have. Or is it just a bad problem? Because now you're struggling to get fights scheduled to prove yourself and continue to prove the quality fighter that you are. Is that a good problem? Are you annoyed by it? How do you feel about that, man?
You know, it's definitely a problem, but, you know, with them avoiding me, you know, it gave me an opportunity to fight at the AT&T Stadium.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On Fox pay-per-view, so, I mean.
Have you fought here before, by the way, or no?
No, I never fought.
This is your first fight, right, in AT&T?
Yeah. Yeah, it was my first fight. My last fight was in Frisco.
Right.
At the Cowboys training facility.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, this is my first fight here, and, you know, I feel like with Mikey Garcia, you know, ethnicity, you know, him being Spanish and, you know, me being from here, you know, that's a great recipe, you know, to make the fight here at the Cowboys Stadium. I don't think Sean Porter, you know, he brings no fan base, you know, to Dallas, Keith Thurman or, you know, Danny Garcia. I mean, Mikey Garcia, you know, has that huge Mexican fan base and following, especially in Texas. So,
right.
You know, it just makes it ideal to fight here.
With the press conference and everything that goes on, sometimes it's just you just want to get it all over with and you want to get in the ring because, you know, at times you can get a little bit annoyed by all the extra hype and all the, you know, Mikey and his brother and everybody get involved and trying to make statements, trying to get under your skin. But at the end of the day, does that just tell you, hey, this is all part of the game, but the main game is Saturday night and I just want to get there as soon as possible?
Oh, definitely. It's all part of the game. I mean, you know, especially when you're on the, you know, pay-per-view side, it's all about selling. It's all about selling and make sure you're getting the pay-per-view buys because, you know, that's how, you know, the experts and things rate you as
sure,
a star.
Sure.
You know, how you, you know, sell outside the ring. So.
But is that your nature? I mean, you're kind of more of an even kill guy. I mean, are you a guy that kind of, you know, talks trash and sells himself for the pay-per-view, or are you just kind of just, you know, you prove yourself
handle
with
your
hands?
Business?
Well, I'm not a guy that talks trash. I'm a guy that, you know, I will tell the truth, you know, just like, you know, yesterday, you know, at the press conference, I said some things, you know, that, you know, that, you know, I felt like, you know, he wasn't saying at the press conference. I just said some things that, you know, his brother had stated and things like that. But, you know, I'm not a guy to just, you know, blow smoke or just talk trash just to be talking trash. Like, if I say something, you know, I'm going to really mean it, or, you know, it's going to be, you know, something that, you know, I really mean instead of, you know, just saying something I don't mean and then apologizing it after the fact.
Sure. Is that extra motivation, or you don't need any more extra motivation?
I don't need any extra motivation. Soon as this fight was made, you know, I was in the gym training hard, focused, and, you know, wanting to win.
Sure.
My only motivation is, you know, not to lose and look spectacular inside the ring.
When did you start hearing rumblings about you potentially hearing having a fight with Garcia? Did they give you any type of heads up when he called you out? Did you kind of know that they were going to seal the deal and make this fight?
Yeah, the second time when he fought Robert Easter, I knew before that you know, we was going to fight if he had won.
Right, because Robert Easter was undefeated at the time, and he got that W, and then he calls you out. So where are you on fighters calling out? Does it matter? You just take the call out and roll with it? And
it's part of the game.
If it's a quality opponent, then you just take it? Or?
Nah, it was really something that, you know, we both had the same manager. So, you know, he was in talks with both of us, and, you know, basically it was, you know, premeditated what he was going to do.
There
that's
you go.
Why, you know.
Okay.
That's why I was already, you know, talking to the Showtime crew and had the mic.
Okay.
At the
fight,
and when
that makes
called
sense.
Me out,
yeah.
You know, I was able to talk.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Break it down for me. We're going to give you a chance to take a little break from the boxing world for a little bit. Talk about your Cowboys. What are you expecting this offseason? Is Dak your guy? Are they going to re-sign all these guys? Where are the Cowboys' future? Is Jason Garrett going to be your head coach in a year?
No, hopefully we do some free agency. You know, normally we're not aggressive at all. And, you know, we got to fill that Cole Beasley void.
Yeah.
That's a big loss.
But you got to sign Cooper.
Yeah.
You got Zeke coming up. You got Dak. You got Lawrence.
Yeah, we got Lawrence.
Some big names.
Yeah, I know. We got to get DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, he's a beast. And, you know, I think he's the core of our line. And, you know, we got to give Dak that money.
Is he your guy?
Yeah, I think he's our guy. We got to give him the money, man. I mean.
Are you a big football fan or a basketball fan? Cowboys or Mavericks?
Because Nick's calling you out about Mavericks fan.
I'm a big football fan.
Okay.
But,
well,
I mean, I'm not a Mavs fan. I like the Mavs, but I'm not a Mavs fan.
Oh, you're not? So it didn't bother you when, like, so what about the Rockets? Do you care about the Rockets? Like, what's your basketball team?
My basketball team growing up was the Sacramento Kings.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a big Chris Webber, Mike Bibby.
Oh, but that team was awesome, though. That was a good team.
Yeah, Stojakovic, like,
yeah,
I loved that team.
Okay.
That was a team that was actually, you know, they were giving Lakers fits. They wouldn't beat them.
That's the Robert Horry, the big shot Bob. Otherwise, the Kings are on their way.
I actually love that team. That was a really, with Mike Bibby at point.
Lottie.
Oh, that was a great team.
They had Bobby Jackson on the bench.
Yeah,
that was a great
team. Mr. Six Man. Yeah, that was a good squad. Okay, so the Cowboys are your squad. How do you feel about this being Lambeau Field South?
You said what?
How do you feel about this being Lambeau Field South, home of the Green
Bay
Packers?
Don't let him talk to you like that. Punch him in his face right now, Errol. Punch him in his face,
You're
Errol.
You're a Texas guy. I'm a Green Bay fan.
Punch him in his
face. I'm a Wisconsin guy. I just want to ask you about how you felt about that.
I'm like, what? Lambeau Field?
Do you make Cowboys games during the season?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I make Cowboy games, yeah. But, I mean, that was a fluke what happened. I feel like we played too conservative because with Green Bay, when you press Aaron Rodgers, he folds.
Are you kidding me? Did you see?
Even when the Falcons did it, when the Falcons started blitzing him, he folded up.
Oh, please keep going with this.
So
please
he unfolded when he beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl here.
When we pressed y'all, we was killing y'all. Then we played conservative, and that's why y'all got that ball off and y'all caught that ball. We tried to play conservative, and we sat back.
We tried to spot you 90 seconds and said, well, with a minute 12, we're going to let you guys think you had us beat, and then he's going to go down the field and hit Devontae Adams in the corner and call it game, set, match.
If we would have blitzed y'all, man, he would have threw the ball up. We probably got an interception. We went out of bounds.
But you said if you would have, but you didn't. So it's like if my aunt had outdoor plumbing, it'd be my uncle. So bottom line is ifs, buts, candies, nuts, right?
But we always have a problem with our play calling. So, I mean,
you guys go through coordinators like some people go through groceries. But, I mean, at the same time, so now you got Jason Garrett. Is he the crux of the problem or is he going to be the solution?
I mean, I can't say nothing bad about the guy.
One year left. He's going to there's be plenty to be said without you.
I feel like Jerry likes him.
I feel like Jerry likes him a lot. You know, I can't really say.
You know why? Because he listens to everything Jerry says. Come on now.
I don't know.
Errol Spence Jr.
Man, we appreciate you spending some time with us. We wanted to lighten it up for you a little bit because we know you got so much going on your mind. But good luck Saturday night. Keep that thing rolling and keep doing what you do.
Good luck, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more. It is ESPN 97.5 and the Usual Suspects.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Radio Row at AT&T Stadium for Errol Spence Jr. versus Mikey Garcia. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, rolling through hour number two, almost the final 60 minutes on the clock, as we are the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, coming to you live from AT&T Stadium right here at Jerry World as we continue to roll through the precursor and all the events leading up to the big pay-per-view fight this Saturday night. You just heard from Errol Spence Jr. Earlier you heard from Mikey Garcia. It's 24-0 versus 39-0, and it should be one hell of a tilt. Here at Jerry World, Nicholas.
The first 2 hours just flew by.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because we had all these great guests, all of which will probably be on Podcast Arena, ESPN975.com. So definitely check those interviews out. It does seem like it's just, I guess because we're so spread out, and AT&T Stadium is so nice and big.
You're very enamored by AT&T Stadium.
I really like the venue. I really, really like the venue. Also, it's my first time here because I remember going to just seeing the outside of the old Cowboys Stadium. I don't think I've ever even seen a fight in the Cowboys Stadium if I can't
I don't know that they've ever had a fight here before. Have they? They have? Okay. So Fred and AJ both on site as well. So they're going to take you with the Blitz 4-7 as we continue to broadcast live from here. But
I thought there'd be more Spanish broadcasters, though.
Down the road there is. There actually
male
is.
Male or female, Fred?
Damn it.
Yeah. I see where you're going with this, Nick.
Dude, when they schedule the female Spanish broadcasters, they are talented.
Yeah, it's just like, what is it, Yanette Garcia? She's the weather girl in Spanish on either Telemundo or one of those stations. She's one of the most followed, popular, talked about. They don't, and you know what? That's where guys want the reverse.
Is she the one that's doing the report in a bikini or something?
Close. But she's the one that was dating the gamer. And he was a professional gamer.
He
broke up with her
so
he could focus more on winning some gaming national title. He didn't win the title, and he lost everything else when she walked out
the
door.
He's such an idiot. That guy's such an idiot.
In a lot of ways. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. He's such an idiot.
Yeah, so that was the one where I used to say that on your remote control, you wanted the reverse SAP button. If you were, you know, a regular dude trying to decipher what was going on one of those stations and the soap operas and the other things on Telemundo, because the females are outstanding.
Yeah, and look, that video gamer that broke up with the really hot model chick or whatever, the reporter or whatever, like, sure. I'm not necessarily blaming him because he needs to focus on gaming, because that is a legit industry and career, whether you think it sounds stupid or not. I'm just mad because he broke up with her. Like,
why?
Make it work. Make it work, bro.
Why are you mad? His loss could be your gain.
I'm not shooting myself.
There's someone out there that could possibly fill the void in more ways than one.
She doesn't want to date a Nick Sharara.
You don't know that.
She doesn't want to. She wants nothing to do with that.
You just don't know that. There's always a possibility for you. Until you put the ring on the finger, there's always a possibility for you. So one man's loss is another man's gain. This is what I'm disappointed in with you, because I really feel like this is an opportunity missed. This is something that you could have capitalized on that you absolutely are passing up, and I'm disappointed in you for that.
Look, I'll shoot my shot whenever I can. I have no problem doing that, but I mean, she's out of my league. Let's just be real.
Is there anyone out of your league? That's a confidence issue. We were talking about this with
fighters. It's not a confidence
issue. No.
It's a realistic
issue. We were talking
issue.
About this with all the fighters that roll through because of the fact that when the part of the deal with a fighter is his confidence. He can have the record. He can have the backing. But if he has the confidence, he's got that it factor that pushes him over the top. He takes it and transcends it into marketing, and it becomes a big deal for him. You could be that guy because of radio. It could open doors for you.
Well, we've got Heidi from Fox Sports. Hopefully, we can ask her about that. Let's see. We'll get her thoughts about that on the other side of the
that
break.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. So stay tuned for that, and make sure that you also check us out on Twitter, as we'll be getting pictures back to you guys in Houston as quickly as we can take them. We're going to take a quick break. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.